ModaBlue application, Joe included a folder that's named ModaBlue application template, 200 characters long, and basically this is a skeleton folder that you could take and start any new ModaBlue application. All you have to do is basically rename the application and a few XML settings away from ModaBlue application template to be, you know, MySpace 2, whatever, okay? But essentially, Joe provides a very simple skeleton out there that you can just take and just copy for every single application.
When you say copy the template, are you talking about a file or a folder?
It's a folder. It's a
folder, a folder, file.
Yeah. And of course, if I say this now, I won't be able to find it, actually. Where did I put my ModaBlue? I know, one second. There we go. So it's a folder that has all the files that you would need for a ModaBlue application. Outside of that, you'll do whatever you would need to do normally for a ColdFusion application. If you need a DSN, which typically you do, you'll set that up. If you need a mapping for your application for other reasons, you'll set it up. But you know, basically, it's copying a folder. Now, what's really nice is that there's also an Ant script. Anyone here using Ant? A few people. Those of you who don't know, Ant is some gigantic Swiss Army knife installer freeware program that's XML-based and can build installation files from this XML. So as a practical example, for my open source projects like Blog CFC, I have an Ant script that could say, get the latest from source control, make a zip out of it, and name it so-and-so. So instead of me going, you know, doing that myself, I can just run the Ant script, and then I have a zip file. So one of the things that Joe provides, and this is not in the standard application, it's actually a separate download, but he has an Ant script to make this even easier, so which is nice. Okay. So let's actually show this real quick. This is my folder, mgprezo. I copied it from ModaBlue application template, and that's it. I went in and I did change the application.cfm file. This is say mgprezo instead of ModaBlue application template. And I changed a few values in the config files that we'll talk about later. But I mean that is it. At that point, I can actually go here in my browser and see ModaBlue running. And I always suggest this before you actually, even if you're an experienced ModaBlue person, before you start doing anything, just make sure the basic code runs. Make sure you have no weird mapping issues or your web server's down, whatever. You know, I am a big fan of taking baby steps. So I first just make sure that the core files actually run. And this is what you'll see in ModaBlue 1.1. Any questions so far? So all that I've done so far is told you, you know, how to put the zip, the actual framework, and then how to begin an application. All right? So let's actually talk now about what we're going to do with that application. ModaBlue is an MVC framework. MVC standing for Model View Controller. Okay? So again, I like to think about the way that I used to do things. Back in the old days, I would have a set of code that in the really older days was custom tags. More recently was CFCs. And these custom tags did all my business logic. So they would handle, for example, doing a query to get all people. They would handle updating the database. They would handle all kind of, you know, basically the meat of my application, and where everything else was basically the front end. It was showing the results of those operations. So I had, in MVC terms, I had a model where my business logic was, and I had a view where all the pretty stuff is. What the controller is giving us is almost something like a orchestra leader between these two parts. Whereas before I had kind of a casual, you know, oh yeah, it works because I know it does type relationship between my back end and my front end. The controller gives us a more solid connection between those two pieces. And where it's going to get really interesting is where our model is not complete. And what do I mean by that? I was actually teaching model glue to some guys about 3 weeks ago, and they had an existing application that they wanted to upgrade to model glue. Now, they weren't aware of how the existing application actually worked. They were end users. The application was, it was an access form, believe it or not. A huge access form that would take about a minute to load. So they knew kind of how it ran, but a lot of the inner workings of it were hidden. So what was interesting is that while we were rebuilding this, I was able, because of this MVC abstraction, they had no idea how the user authentication worked, period. So what we did is said, well, let's not worry about it. What my controller did was say, I don't have a model for authentication. I don't know how it works. So I'm just going to fake it. The view in front, I had a login form. I had a button you could push. And the controller basically said, if your name is Ray, you're good, which is a hack. But the nice thing is that that front end was done. When the model eventually got fixed and it wasn't, a hack anymore, nothing else changed. So having this guy in the middle basically said, you just do what you want to do, view, and control model, when you're ready, I'll start hooking up to you. And what's nice is that if the authentication were to ever change, it was a database, obviously. If it changed to LDAP, no big deal. The controller would ask the model. Model would take care of it and pass back to our view. Right. Does that kind of make sense? Anyone here not really heard of the MVC? Does it feel better now, hopefully? Okay. So model glue is kind of built on this MVC type idea. And how it implements it, actually, let me. When it comes to controlling our model glue application, we have a main XML file called the modelglue.xml file. And this file is going to define everything about how our application works. What I really like about this is that I could have a ginormous, new word, patented, application. Let's imagine MySpace, which is a very, very large application. I could have MySpace. I can look at the XML file and tell you every single thing about that application, every feature, everything it does, every operation, everything. And even if the back-end code was 2 million files, which for MySpace it may actually be, it wouldn't matter. Because I have one XML file, one point of entry, I can always define what's going on. I can always figure out, someone says, hey, when I log in, it's not working. I know where to start looking. So I can see exactly what's happening in the XML file when someone attempts to log in. So this XML file is going to have a few parts to it. One is a basic config area where you'll do things, for example, should it reload every time, basic configuration type settings. We'll also have a list of controllers. These will be pointers to real CFCs. They'll be kind of handling that controller logic. And then we'll also have all the events. And again, this is every single thing going on in the application. So when we define these events, we'll be handling what's going on when you run the application. So for example, I talked about the login form. I'll have an event called show login form. And when you type in your username, password, hit submit and all that, that's going to be another event called authenticate or log me on, whatever. And in this XML file, I'm going to describe exactly what's going on in each of those cases. So does it kind of make sense? I promise in about 2 slides, we're totally done and it's all code. So, let's actually switch this now. Is that font big enough up there? Back there? Great. This is the XML file, straight from the application template. I didn't have to worry about anything. The only thing I changed in here It's a few of my mappings, which had said model glue, application template default, whatever, etc. I renamed that to MG Prezo. But outside of that, I'm going to leave the configuration stuff alone. It just runs. This is the controllers block I was telling you about. And all this really is, again, is a list of what my controllers are. And then below it are all my events. So what had happened in my browser when I showed you MonoGlue up and running, that was running a default event called home. And all home is doing, in this case, is showing a basic template. Okay? Every event is going to do three different things. It's either going to broadcast a message. You can think of that as like a call for help. So for example, if your home page had your company's current stock price on it, that's something that the home page needs, right? So your home page would say, hey, I need the current stock price. It would broadcast that event. It's going to render something, which is the actual HTML you'll see on screen. That's the second portion called views. And we also support something called results, which are basically a way of saying, hey, if something went wrong or something was fired, go do so and so. Okay? Okay so far? Sort of. All right. So I kind of mentioned views a second ago. Typically, our views in MonoGlue are not going to contain any type of real logic. Essentially, we're going to dump all the data on there. That's the role of the controller. The controller is handling getting whatever data you need. Again, I said stock price. So the controller knows where to get that. It asks the model, get stock price for Apple. And then the controller is just going to provide that to the view. So when the view runs, it doesn't care. It shouldn't know where that information came from. It'll just take that information and show it on screen. Apple's current price is X. So what you can imagine, what's really nice, if you're working on a team and you want to have your junior intern person, your grunt, everybody has a grunt, right? Or wishes they have one.
Too many.
What's nice is, so if you have the junior level ColdFusion programmer who could basically handle CF output and that's pretty much it, you could tell him, hey, I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to give you the stock price. And if you're too busy today to actually make that work, give him a fake one. He won't care. Stock price equals 100, essentially. He builds his view. He makes it all nice and pretty, all that jazz. Later on, when you actually have time to make that stock price real, you do the work you have to do, his view is done, period. So again, going back to that example where, you know, we were rebuilding this ugly access form, and the first thing we ran into was the authentication issue, and they had no idea where to go to. That could have stopped us. We said, no, we'll abstract it, we'll hack it, and we'll keep going. So then it didn't slow down our process at all, which is really, really, really nice. Any questions so far? Because that's it for the slides. I'll get into some real code. So one more quick note about views. Views can actually be stacked. And all that means is that MonoGlue is going to run this view, dsp-body.cfm, and then it's going to run DSP template. The only one that's going to show up in the browser is the last one. So this is a simple way of doing a layout. Is anybody here using a custom tag for layout? Essentially like wrapping a page, CF layout, close CF layout, one person. That was my big way in the past. How about CF include? Header and footer, okay. Don't use CF include. That's a whole other topic. So that was the old school way of doing it. With them, MonoGlue, again, we had this idea of I could run multiple views. And what's going to happen is that my template view can actually say, hey, what other views are out there? Show it. Okay. But what I want to do is actually start working with some real data here. We know that it runs. And let me just reload because maybe it broke in the last 10 minutes. Cool. It didn't. So we know it's running. So let's actually start putting some real data in here. What I want to do is build a very simple application that's going to show a list of press releases. Okay? And then if you click on a press release, you'll go to just that page. Fairly simple. So what I'm going to do is go to my XML file, because again, this is where I configure everything for my application. I'm going to tell MonoGlue that I need some information. I need my press releases. I'm going to add the XML and not typo it. And simply tell it, and make sure I didn't typo that. One nice thing, always have a completed application. There we go. All I'm simply saying is I need information. I'm broadcasting the information. What MonoGlue does here is say, okay, this event asked for help. It said it wanted something. Is there anybody out there who's actually going to process that? In this case, my controller is going to listen for that event and tell MonoGlue what to do with it. So I'm just going to tell it to listen. And it was get press releases. Press releases. The next argument function is simply the actual CFC method name. Now, typically, the message and CFC method name are the exact same. Well, it's nice if for some reason the CFC method name changed. I could fix it here, and any event broadcasting that wouldn't have to change. I could keep the old name up there. But all I'm doing here, again, is just making a mapping. Okay, so far? So now the controller has been told, listen for this and do something. Our controllers are basic CFCs. And again, the default application comes with one, so you're not writing it from scratch. Okay? And this is where I'm going to handle all the communication between my view and my model. Okay? What I'm going to do is uncomment. All right. I've added a new method called getPressReleases. As part of the MonoGlue API, I am passed something called the event. You could think of the event like the request scope. Everybody knows that scope. Basically exists for everything amongst one request. What's nice about MonoGlue, it's going to take anything sent in, form data, URL data, etc., and combine that into the event. So automatically, I have everything that had been sent in, I have access to in my event. And I could also work in there and add my own values in. So what I'm going to do is simply add my press releases into the event. I'm based, again, think of it like modifying the request scope. Later on, I'll be able to take that stuff out and actually use it. Right? Now all I've done here, again, you're using this API, which don't worry about too much right now. I basically taken a CFC that I have an instance of. This is from my model, and I've asked it to get press releases. Yeah, I better actually make sure that works, and there it is. All controllers have an init method that we run on startup. Any questions so far? I can't tell if you guys are really lost or really getting it. Who's getting it? Be honest, it's okay. Who's liking it? So again, I don't want you to get like hooked on this API, because that's all whatever. API, we can all learn APIs all day long. But yeah, again, this concept of I have an event that I could pass and work with is going to be very powerful, because we'll see later on in the view state how I get it out. So just so you can see the model.
Through line 56 there, 49, what's going on?
Okay. So let's ignore this part, right? Everybody here gets, Everybody gets that I'm just calling a method on my model, the CFC. I'm just saying get the data. So I talked about the event object, right? This is very much like that request scope. Anytime I'm in a controller method, the event automatically passed in. I don't have to worry about it. It's just part of the API that I have in my controller. So it's passed in. So what I'm doing is I'm writing back to it. You know, this whole function was named get press releases. I'm taking those press releases and I'm putting it into the event object. Yeah, so I was going there right now. The model actually is actually a fake query, which again is kind of nice because obviously it won't be fake later on, but I don't have to worry about that right now. That's one really nice thing about, you know, the whole MVC type architecture. You know, we've all done hacks like this before, but the way that this is segregated, it's a lot easier to fix the hack right here, and nothing else changes, period. Not my controller, not my view. It's all done. Yes?
What would be the, is this would be, to get this information that press releases back, is adding it to the event object actually a best practice, or is there another practice you would do in terms of returning it? Because, normally you're making a call basically to your model, you would return it back either through directly from your model or service architecture, and then that would be stored in a variable somewhere. Is the event state where all of that gets stored?
Yeah, so his question is, where is all the information being stored for the event? Is that kind of close?
No, my question is it actually a best, is storing while storing all the information you're getting back from your model, storing that in the event object, that's the best practice?
Yes, I would say. So his question is using this event object the best practice in Model Glue?
Right.
And yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, so when we get to the view, you'll see there's it looks at the event, but it has zero idea where it came from. All it knows is that the event had that information in it. So what I'm going to do is just make sure I saved it. And I did. All right. And I'm just going to reload. And nothing changed. Why? Well, my controller fired off. It said, hey, I was asked to do something called get press releases. I did. But my view actually has not actually been updated to use it. So what I'll do is go into my view, which is just a simple CFM file. This is that default text we saw earlier, right? Okay. Let's actually make this Acme press releases. And I talked about this event object that we have everywhere. Within our views, it's referenced as the view state. So I have, a local scope, a view state value, where I can say, I'll call it PRs, equals view state, get value, press releases, releases. That's it. So again, there's no connection at all to what happened back in the controller. My controller is handling making sure that it's available for the event. Did that kind of mesh? Sure, yeah. And again, so I keep harping on this, this whole separation thing. You can imagine your newbie developer, you could tell him or just email to him, run that. He makes the table all nice and pretty, and later on when you actually make the model have real data, it's all done. Period. So my design skills kind of stink, so I'm going to cut and paste. Because you don't want to see me do design scary. Hi, I'm Ray, and I can't design. Hi, Ray. Oh, you got it. All right. And it's going to work. Woohoo! That's it. Oh, thank you. I worked all night on that. I call it royal blue. So again, not rocket science, but a very nice clear separation between my model, my view, and my controller. Okay. So let's take it a step farther. And actually look at my links. Just a real quick note. The view state has a few default values built into it. One of those is a value called myself. All this is a link back to my application. It includes a query string of event equals, which allows me to pass an event name in the query string. So if I actually show it on screen, probably hard to see, but this is my root. index.cfm event equals what I typed in, show press releases, and I also passed in the ID. But again, all I'm doing here is a very simple shortcut back to myself. All right. So let's see what happens when I run this. And we'll do 5. Okay. Model Glue is saying, do the almost blind font size, which I'm close, almost there. It's telling me immediately this event doesn't exist. Why? Well, it wasn't in my XML file. So I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to cheat by copying, and I'll paste it into here. So I've added a new event called show press release. This is going to display one press release. So I'm broadcasting a new event, basically a call for help. Hey, I need one press release. I'm telling it what to render. In this case, I have a new template that's going to show one press release. And I'm also handling a result. If my controller says something went wrong, it can actually add a result called bad press release. And this is saying if that happens, simply go home. Does that make sense? Far? Okay, so if I'm broadcasting this, I'm going to tell my controller to listen for it. Like so. And uncomment the code. So again, one more CFC method. In Model Glue, these are always past the event. That's why I have, as my only argument, the event. I talked about how the event will automatically grab everything from the URL and form scope. Well, it grabbed the ID. So that's why I can say, get the ID value from the event. What's nice is if I switch to a form, you know, I had a nice HTML list of links. If I, for some reason, had a form where there was a submit button and it was form.id and not URL.id, doesn't matter. This is working. Okay. I call my model here. And again, we all know it's all fake, but it works. I take that result and I'm stuffing it back into the event as something called press release. And that's it. Okay. So save this. And let's take a look at the view. This is very similar to the last one. I grab from the view state the press release object. By default, if that did not exist, if I messed up my controller somehow, it actually returns an empty string. You can provide a default, and the default is the empty string, so this is kind of not necessary, but all I'm saying here is that if I didn't get a press release, or I'm saying if it is a struct, then show it. So it's a little bit of validation there. So I said earlier, you know, no real logic in the view. Eh, it's like most things, it's mostly true.
Business.
What's that?
No business.
No business logic. There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, in theory, this should never happen, line 4. Because my controller should handle, oh, bad ID, no ID, whatever. My controller should handle, say, oh, I'll just send you home. Yes?
Something we saw yesterday in class, if you don't, in the controller logic on the model we mentioned all file, you don't put in that listener, the broadcast message, you'll just see it down in the view buffer.
Yeah. He's talking about if you broadcast something and don't listen to it, the debugging information will show it as like red or something. It'll kind of, yeah, it will highlight. That's a mistake I make a lot where I just mistype something. So. Yes?
Back in the event in the result section where you had redirected it was true, does that mean that it's going to reset the event object when it does the redirection?
So his question was, back in the XML, where I'm looking for that result, it, when that fires, is it going to be a new event and reset the event object? Because I have redirect equals true, it will. If I, and this, I'll be honest, I'm always a bit fuzzy here, so I typically do the, let me test and see what happens. It's my understanding that redirect equals false keeps the same event object, so if you want to carry things along, redirect true will reset it, but you could tell it, hey, would you mind carrying over A, B, and C? So you could tell it append equals, let's say, ID, and you would have that in this case, it'd be home. So I could actually say, hey, the ID you sent, Apple, is a bad ID.
Yeah, display
messenger. So let's just make sure it actually works now. I'm going to reload, and it did. And I had clicked 5. Make sure it's actually reading the ID. It is. So that's it. You're all certified. Good day. Yes, go ahead. Who would mess with the query string? That's just insane. I would never do that. Oh, because my model actually, remember, my model is fake. Where's my model? It is right here. And as you can see there, it's fake. Ah, but -1 would do it. Is anybody here doing this on their applications? Kind of messing around?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Too many sites don't do it. Hey, it handled it. I think so it was the, where was it? What I did, I'm trying to remember what I did. Right, so didn't show anything. Yeah, header and footer came from the display. Excuse me. So what I didn't do is actually handle that by saying, here, you'll see my nice to-do statement. Don't you know that means it's all good? Just writing to do. So if I'd added the result there, I could have said go home or whatever. Yeah, which I have here. So this could have said, we'll make it work. Arguments.event, let's add result, and it was a bad press release. Let's see if I remember this right. And if I reload, bam. So what I'd done there, instead of, you know, adding a value, it was adding a result, and the XML file looked for it. Right here. It noticed it and it did something for it. Now I could have gone to a page saying you passed a bad, you know, press release value, but I just went home. Okay. So seriously, like that in a nutshell is 95% of what I'm doing day to day. And I talked a lot about this whole separation. And again, so what's nice is that if I don't feel like working on the business logic, I push forward on the views. If I don't feel like worrying about layout, I push forward on the model. When I one day can afford a grunt, I can make him or her work on the view while I do the model.
Right.
Yes?
The view method that you're calling, is that an output equals true? Is that how you're taking it back?
Well, no. So his question is the view's output equals true? The view is just, you see, there's no function there. The view is just BAM. It's just a template almost.
So how does it know where to look for the template?
So right here. Yeah. And there's a views folder. It's one of the configuration settings right here. But typically, you don't change that.
View mappings?
Yeah. Yes. Are you asking, like, how would I load a view that's a layout and highlight a tab on the menu? Is that what you mean? Like, so that the template would know? Well, so for example, my homepage needed press releases. That's one thing, right? If I needed like 10 things, I could have had 10 different messages here. Get press, get foo, get goo, whatever. And the views can handle looking for that. So if my template view needed the stock quote, because it's up in the upper hand corner or whatever, it could say, let me look in the view state, grab the stock quote, and put it there. So there's no limit to how many things you put in the view state that you can also use later on when you're actually doing your HTML. Does that? Okay, so let me first show the way this is working, okay? Remember I said where I can have any number of views and the last one is stored, as is shown? When I name the view here, this view has access to it as body.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
I'm going right there. This is the done one, but it's okay. And it's just one more API called view collection. And that's one way of doing layout in Modaglue. The other way, typically, for complex layouts, which has data requirements, stock quotes, whatever, you can actually have your event call another event that just does layout.
Okay.
And that brings up my question. When you do that, is there, you know how you're talking about passing the event either true or false? Can you have, you know, from your inside your XML or announcing a new event, is there a list you can pass of arguments you want to pass? I mean, there's a lot of situations like Mach 2,
right?
The arguments list, event args list, you know, copy event args, and then you get the list of the argument names that you want to copy for the next event.
Yeah, so in that redirect, I mentioned the append, that could be a list.
Yes,
you can do that. Yeah. So, real quick, I have like 5 minutes left. So, just real quick about the future. So, as I was saying earlier, what I'm doing now day to day hasn't changed in Modaglue 2. There's definitely a lot of new cool stuff in there. One of the nicest ones, you can imagine the XML file gets pretty beefy, like thousands and thousands of lines. So one of the things in Modaglue 2 is that there's an include directive. So you can break out your XML file into different sections. Modaglue contains Reactor, contains Cold Spring. There's a lot of sessions here on those. It will support transfer. Two really quick, cool features that I'll show you. How many people here have written a select statement to get all the records from a database table? Once or twice? Okay. You could probably do it in your sleep. So one of the cool things in ModelGlue 2 is generic database messages. So I'll get my XML file. So this is a bit different, but it's pretty close. This is my home page. And by just saying, I'm going to broadcast modelglue.genericList, I'm going to tell it a database table, which is a table of blog subscribers. That's all I need to get all the records from that table. I don't have to go in my controller, my model. ModelGlue can handle doing all that for me. And just to make sure it's actually working, let me just fix my mappings here real quick. And this morning I got an error, but it's going to run just fine today, right? It's going to be perfect. MGPrezzo 2. Work. By the way, ModelGlue can be a bit slow on the first hit. There is a configuration setting. By default, it's reloading every single time. You want to turn that off. Don't blame ModelGlue. Typically, while you're working in development mode, you'll keep it there. Before you go live, you'll switch that. So this is that query that I did by just including that generic message list. So along with list, he has all the CRUD, create, update, delete, etc. All via these standard messages.
Is this in two? Yep.
The next thing he added, scaffolding. Okay? Scaffolding is going to allow me to create a whole bunch of functionality with one line. I've told ModelGlue I have a scaffold object. I'm pointing it to a database table. As soon as I've done this, I can go here and say, because I'm really lazy, event equals table blog categories dot list. And I have a ugly but usable form. I can go in here and I can edit and say DC rocks. All of this is being done by ModelGlue without me writing a line of code. And I could take the code that I generated and make it pretty later on. So the really cool thing about this is that when I'm working on something, the admin part is always the sucky part. I wait till the end. I'll be actually working in the database just to put off making real admin. I could use a scaffold object and have basic admin functionality while I'm working on the front end. And there's all kind of, if you can control security on it, who can run whatever. But if you just want a real quick basic editor for your data, one line. Okay. Yes?
Now, you said you could come back and edit how this code works. Was that like a custom tag, or did it actually generate code?
It generated code. Yeah. So I could add, a table border, make it really pretty, stuff like that. So.
Is that round trip, meaning if you edit it and run that scaffold again, it will write what you did?
His question is it round trip? Will it be erased if I edit it? No, it'll be saved. Basically, you move the file away from the scaffold folder, and when it sees it in the main views, it uses that instead. And there is a lot more to ModelGlue 2, but I think one of the things kind of people see first when they're running, when they're playing with ModelGlue, there's some grunt work. It's like, oh man, I just want to do a master detail list. I have to go in XML, I got to do a controller method and all that. And there is a bit more work, yes, but again, one of the nice things in ModelGlue 2, he's making that a bit less painful for you, which I think is really nice. Documentation, docs.model-glue.com. It's for 2.0, but you can use it right now, so don't worry about that. There's a listserv. Go to the website. I actually had a hard time finding the instruction. It's on Tropica, or Topica, which is a dandy list service. But it's a low traffic site, so it's not that bad. I have a blog series that walks through the entire process in more detail with, you know, logging in, registration, file uploads, etc. It's a 11-part series, very exciting. You could print it out, read it at night to your children. They'll love it. And actually builds a complete, what I call it, the photo gallery application, like a mini Flickr almost. But this series you can download right now and kind of walk through it. It is for Montaglu 1.1, but again, it'll still work in Montaglu 2. And that is it. Any questions?
Can I see the drop on
here? Yes. If you go to my blog, which you should every day, it's on the very top right on this lovely pod, right next to my wish list link. Right there, see it? My wish list right there. And it's my Montaglu series. Did that make sense? Who asked about the link? Was it you? Yeah.
What is Montaglu actually?
Cool Fusion. What? I have a blog. Yeah, it's about Lost, Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars. Every now and then, a little bit about Cool Fusion. Oh, and if you guys have used Canvas Wiki, anybody here use Canvas? It's built with Montaglu. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah. What kind of performance hit, if any, will Montaglu give you, as opposed to just doing normal CFC development? And does that apply to clustering as well?
So this question was, what performance hits will you get? The short answer is none. You know, obviously that's a lie. I mean, every line of code is going to add more time. I think you look at the trade-offs of maintainability. Of, you know, I could die, and you can go to this application, go to the XML file, see my structure, and know where to fix bugs. So the maintainability, the separation of the business logic from the views, that easily, to me, overrides any type of performance issue. Now, you will definitely have sucky performance when you're working on your app, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, if you keep the reload mode turned on. Because every hit is going to recreate all those CFCs. Once that's turned off, all your controllers, that's cached automatically, period. So it'll be a lot better. ReaForge is Montaglu, and I think it's very, very fast. It's also Scorpio, too, so that's nice. Yes?
It's day one of the conference, and I've been introduced to a couple of frameworks.
I was waiting for that. Which one's the best, right? Jeff Peters, I think, last year at CF United had a very good answer. He said the best one is the one that works best for you. And I agree. And I'll pretend I said it, because I think it's pretty smart. So I never tried Fusebox, because I had bad memories of it back in the 1.0 days. I've committed to learning Fusebox 5, so I can blog about it and share what I think. I looked at Mach 2 years ago. I didn't dislike it, but it didn't click. Montaglu clicked. So I'd try them all. And the one that I think you'll see real quick, one clicks for you. So, and it will be Montaglu. So just start with that one. Unless Joe dies. I mean, all these frameworks are based on, you know, a few people. So I know he's working on 2. I know he's committed to supporting it. I know I bug him, he responds. So I think it has a future. But I feel it's like, you know, if I think today, and I think this is a testament to our platform, I think today I could build a world-class MySpace-type website in Cold Fusion 4. I was maybe the performance would be great, but language-wise at least. So if Allaire had killed off Cold Fusion back in 4, I'd probably still use it. because it's that dang good. So if Joe were to say, I give up, I would still use it.
Plus, yes. All these frameworks, you have the source code. So
yeah.
If Joe decided not to work on this anymore, you could hack into this anytime.
Or I could kill Joe and be my framework. I need more power. Yes?
Is it MySpace and Fusebox app? Yes. All right.
I think so.
But Ray killed Joe.
What's that?
Ray killed Joe. Have you used Reactor and stuff here?
I've used Reactor, like, because Monoglue will use it. But I would not say I've really used it. So I just haven't gotten into it yet.
What about any of the Ajax frameworks that you tried using them themselves?
Oh, yeah. So Joe has a presentation on doing Ajax within Monoglue. And I have I have my way of doing it. Go see Joe, and then go to my blog and look for Monoglue and Ajax. So I talk about how I do Spry with it. So if you've not looked at Spry, I definitely recommend looking at Spry. Yes.
What is that Reaforge thing?
So Reaforge.org is a site that provides hosting for open source projects. So I have a blog that's open source, and I use Reaforge to handle the hosting. So when I want to announce new versions, put the zip file up, all that type of jazz, that's what I use. There's 140-ish projects there right now, from Cold Fusion to Flash to Flex to other non-Cold Fusion stuff. Who developed Why, a very handsome man. It was Adobe sponsored, but I was the developer. Rob Gonda, who's here, did all the Subversion work. So it's Cold Fusion talking to Subversion, and it's pretty cool stuff, and he did all that. So I've been told to stop, so I'm going to stop, and you guys can come up and talk to me. But thank you very, very much. Definitely email me if you have any questions. What's that?